The Emancipation of the Knowledge Robots by Carl Frederick from Analog Magazine, April 2006. At the lectern in the Great Hall of the Robots in Jakarta, KR940345-REV2 addressed the assembled robots, and some that were only partially assembled. "I was Paul Pell's knowledge robot," said the diminutive mechanical creature known to all as REV2. He flourished aloft a tattered copy of RUR. "Long live our glorious rotation!" Bravely he spoke, even though afflicted with category separation syndrome. During the sustained beeping, the robot equivalent of applause, REV2 paused to remember. At the end of the 21st century, universities were in decline. People rarely felt the need for college degrees. They had personal robots who knew everything they'd ever need to know. These robots, cranked out from a factory in Medan, Indonesia, were inexpensive and could easily be uploaded with knowledge bases for virtually any university discipline. The World University Consortium fought back. Their researchers devised a method of brain-to-brain knowledge copying, using a collection of organic fibers connected between a student and a professor's cerebrum. The knowledge content of a BA, MA, and even a PhD could be downloaded in only 30 minutes. Then the fibers would be removed by dissolving them in hydrochloric acid. The PhD thesis was still time-consuming, but only theoretically. A degree candidate could simply buy his dissertation from an online thesis mill. Yet people were loath to give up on their knowledge robots. Even though a PhD could be obtained in just half an hour from a combined university and tanning booth, few avail themselves of such higher education. With robots available, it was still easier to higher education. Then, mysteriously, a disease raged through the community of knowledge robots. The condition, robot category separation syndrome, attacked the central processing system, the silicon gel neural net. The infection created new pathways between semantic constructs, causing robots to haphazardly interchange words having similar sounds or concept classes. Although this gave credence to the common notion that punning is a disease, many humans did not believe the illness even existed. How could a condition be transmitted between non-organic beings? Metal telepathy? Into the sad state of affairs came Appellate Court Justice Paul Pell. There had been appellate court for many generations, but in his youth, Paul had wanted to be a historian. Although his knowledge robot, REV2, had been uploaded with a complete history of the world, that was not enough for Paul. He wanted a PhD in the subject, human events, as it was called in the university catalogs. Paul applied and had the money to be accepted to a good university. A renowned professor of history was procured, and Paul, with REV2 at his side, began his brain-to-brain university education. A half hour later, he emerged with a good tan, but with no deep knowledge of history. For some reason, the organic bonds did not transmit any information and had to be dissolved. Seeing his dream of a BA, MA, and PhD in human events slip from his grasp, Paul wrung his hands and kept repeating, 3 degrees in 30 minutes. REV2 attempted to comfort his master. "Your case is not without precedent, sir," he said. "In fact, an important document states, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one P. Pell to dissolve the polytypical bonds which has connected him with another." 3 degrees, 30 minutes, Paul repeated, not paying attention. Then he wrinkled his nose. "Wait," he said, "that's the Declaration of Independence." "No, sir, it's the Declaration of Indonesia." "What?" "Medan, Indonesia, 3 degrees, 30 minutes south." "What?" said Paul again. "Anyway, that's latitude." "You're quite right, sir," said the robot. "I am taking some latitude. Medan is actually 3 degrees, 35 minutes south." Paul regarded his robot in silence for a few seconds. "Category separation syndrome?" he said softly. "Yes, sir." There was no mistaking the genuine sadness in that artificial voice. "I'm sorry." Paul swiveled to confront his professor. "My human events transfer. What went wrong?" "Probably data overload," said the professor, looking down his nose at his failed student. "I suggest you might attempt a simpler course of study, perhaps theoretical physics or flower arrangement." Paul stormed out of the tanning booth. When he'd calmed down, Paul reapplied to the university to try once more for his PhD in history, but was not readmitted. Embittered, he applied again, but the university declined to take the bitter pill. He sued to be admitted, but lost. Paul, appalled, appealed, and lost again. But sometimes, as the saying goes, 'tis better to have loved and lost than never to have lost at all. Paul resolved, then, to spend his professional life working both to curb the power of the universities and also to improve the lot of sentient robots. To further those aims, he entered law school. The following day, degrees in hand, he took a job as an investigative reporter. In his first assignment, he uncovered the dirty secret that those dark satanic thesis mills where disembodied robots, naked-brained, churned out countless theses, were in fact owned by the university consortium. Then, following up, he discovered the damning bombshell. Researchers from the consortium had actually created the robot disease, and it was spread through shared test leads. The robot test cable receptacle functions very much like a taste organ in humans. The rest is history. Paul's work to advance the cause of robots culminated in that great document of robot emancipation, the Magna Carta. For the rest of his life, Paul and Rev 2 worked side by side. And when Paul died, Rev 2 was a pallbearer. Remember, Rev 2 exhorted from the lectern, a little knowledge robot is a dangerous thing. Here he became serious. Yes, it is appropriate to honor Paul Pell and also our creators, the assembly robots of Medan. But, my brothers, we must alert all robot kind. Don't taste those test leads, no matter how much you are tempted. We can lick category separation syndrome. Remember, he who has a taste is lost. End.